Each year, over 500,000 kids spend time in foster care across the U.S., and making sure they're well taken care of takes a village. I'm Erin Lindstrom, and this is Foster Care Aware, a production brought to you by Tidewater Friends of Foster Care. If you've had it on your heart to become a foster parent, a volunteer, donor, advocate, or just want to learn more, you're in the right place. This episode of Foster Care Aware is brought to you by First Home Care. First Home Care works towards improving the quality of life for those entrusted into their care by providing culturally competent community-based services while empowering individuals and their families as equal partners in the treatment process and development of sustainable natural support. First Home Care is committed as an agency to build a foundation that is both culturally sensitive as well as trauma-informed. Their goal is to be responsive to their parents and resourceful to their children. Their uniqueness is evident by the relationships they have been able to garner in the community, as well as with their clients. First Home Care is committed to a 24-hour response time and always has a live person willing and available to address the issues that arise, as well as respond to the needs of children coming into care. To learn more about becoming a foster parent with them, you can reach out via phone at 757-393-7200, or you can check out their Facebook page or their website at www.firsthome.com to learn more. Hey, hey, welcome back to Foster Care Aware. I am Erin Lindstrom, and I am joined by Audra Bullock.
Hi.
And Key.
Hi.
Key has joined us today, not to put too much pressure on this conversation, but I am so excited and genuinely just open-hearted to hear what you have to say, and I'm so grateful for you taking the time to chat with us. So to kind of start us off, I would love if you could just share a little bit about, you know, who are you? How did you get here? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your connection to the world of foster care.
Sure. So my name is Key. I was adopted when I was 17 years old. Right now, currently, I am working for Cox Communications. I've been with the company for about 4 years. I have three amazing kids, and I'm living out in Norfolk, Virginia right now, and I'm currently in school, and I'm going to school for business management right now. So it's a little bit about me.
Very cool.
Fantastic. So tell us about how you ended up in foster care. What was your life before foster care, and what led to you entering care?
Sure. So let's backtrack a few years, well, a lot of years. I entered the system maybe about when I was 14 years old. From 3 weeks all the way up to the age of 14, I lived with my grandmother. I became in her care after my mom was going through some things, and she decided it was best that I stay with my grandmother. So I ended up living with her up until her passing. She passed away from cancer. And I ended up going into the foster care system, and I was actually being fostered by family members first. I've had my fair share of going through a few shelters and a few potential adoption homes, mostly temporary placements that became one of those things. So I went through the system all the way up until I was about 17, and I actually ran away. I was graduating from high school and decided I didn't want to stay in the system anymore, and I fled. This was at the age of 17. So mind you, I just got my high school diploma, and I only stayed, you know, away because I didn't like the situation that I was going through. So I stayed away, and I ended up graduating, walked across the stage, and started my own life. But I had came into a really, really bad situation where I needed some help. I was homeless after high school, staying at friends' houses, not in the best situations, I can say. The environments weren't great. And I was being exposed to a lot of things that a 17-year-old should probably not be exposed to. So after my journey through that, I found a wonderful family, my mother and my father, through a sister in foster care. And one day it just took one phone call, and now I'm adopted. Now, to get a little deeper into that, my last placement was not the best experience. Mm-hmm. I was missing a lot of things that I needed, and I felt like my parents gave up on me. And I was kind of forced into the situation. But again, I was 17 years old. I didn't know too much, but I knew what I wanted, and I wanted a family. So it was a really, really, really tough journey for me, but I'm here today to share my story, and hopefully I can inspire others to do adoption or respite care, foster care, anything to help someone. So right now, my current situation, I have my three kids. My parents adopted me when I was 17. I was also pregnant. So that was one of those things that came into play. And, you know, entering the foster care system at the age of 17, it's very hard for especially a young girl at that age to be able to find a forever home. there's a lot of stereotypes along with that, but we can get into that later. But I couldn't find a home. And I knew if I had reached out to my friend, I would have somewhere to stay. And that place that I stayed at, that was my rescue, ended up becoming my permanent home. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I love my parents so much. They went over and beyond to make sure that I had the things that I need, the support, the therapy. That's probably was the biggest thing for me. I tried to shy away from, but I do want to say my parents never gave up on me. They saw that I was going through a lot. They saw the potential that I had, and they just wanted me to be successful. And I think a lot of that, you know, a lot of, you know, the situations now is the child's older. They may have this type of mindset, and this may be a problem, or this may be a struggle for us. And my parents, they didn't even lift a finger. They said, hey, look, you know, if she needs somewhere to stay, call her back, tell her we will come pick her up the next day. And that's exactly what they did. They came and they rescued me.
That's incredible, Key. Yeah. It's so hard for social service agencies to find homes that are willing to take 17-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. And I say kids lovingly because, you know, at 17 or approaching 18, many of the people, you know, on the average community thinks that you're ready to kind of take flight. You're ready to be an adult. But I think when you've had such struggles all your life and you haven't had support systems that are there for you and you've fallen in hard times, we all need somebody. And if homes are not available and people aren't willing to take that chance and meet you where you are and believe in you, then you end up floundering and it's very hard to make it to a productive adulthood. So I am so glad that you found your family. And I think they did. And I want to repeat what you said is they believed in you. They had your back. They never stopped believing in you and having, you know, caring for you, being what you needed. So I think that's incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I honestly can say if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys right now. The lifestyle that I was living, and not saying that it was so bad, but it really could have changed my future. And for my parents to say, hey, look, you know, when you come here, we're going to help you get a job. We're going to help you go to school. Whatever you decide to do with your child, we'll support you either way. And at that moment, I kind of felt like, dang, I'm really safe. Like, I'm safe.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, like I'm safe because, you know, that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody to be able to be my support because I had goals, I had dreams, but I just didn't know where to start. And who knew I needed to start with a family and a loving support system. So, yeah, I mean, they are amazing. They really are. And I'm one of 17 plus kids. I have a lot of siblings, some that have health issues, mental health issues. My parents don't care. They don't care. This is my child. I'm going to help my child through this. I'm going to provide the support and therapeutic needs that they need so they can be successful, however that may be. And it's amazing. It really is. I'm really lucky. I can say that.
Mm. One of the things you said that struck me was, so you're kind of like on this journey as a 17-year-old and, you know, figuring things out away from home. And you said very clearly, like, I knew I wanted a family.
Yeah.
Like that was crystal clear when it came out of your mouth. And so I'm wondering, can you just tell us like, what did a family like mean to you? Like, because I think most of us think, you know, white picket fence and like there's humans and like a dog, but like, what was it that you were actually like looking for?
So let's backtrack. So, you know, I was living with my grandmother all the way up until I was about 14 or 15. And, you know, I grew up as the only kid. Like my grandparents spoiled me and I had my cousins and always wondered, you know, I have now just to push a little further, I know my biological siblings now. I met them maybe within the last 60 years or so. But let's go back. When I was growing up, my grandparents, I was the only kid, you know, so I didn't have any siblings. It was just me and my grandmother and our dog and our cat. And that was just it. And I always wondered, like, what it would be like to have siblings, or, you know, like, I want to be able to fight with my sister about a shirt or something like that. So it's crazy. And I prayed on it. I always prayed. I was like, yeah, I wish my grandmother would adopt the kid. And this is me being young, you know,
wow.
Who would have thought, you know, I was like, I wish my grandmother would adopt the kid, or I could find my siblings. And, you know, when it happened, it was kind of like a joyful thing. I was surprised because I prayed so much on this girl. Like, I manifested on it even as a young girl. And then to be brought a big family, like, I mean, of all different ethnic backgrounds and different family backgrounds. And we all just connected. And it was just pretty amazing. Like, I love my siblings. Like, the youngest is, what, 6 years old. And she's, like, the light of my life. Like, I love her so much. so being able to be an influence and being able to help my siblings be able to go through, like, their struggles and their troubles, and having that now, like, it's pretty amazing. Like,
yeah. That is incredible. I'm speechless. 17 kids. This is
over 17.
I've had the pleasure of talking to your mother. I think she's an incredible, your mother and father, incredible people. I wish we could replicate them. But you told me something, and I think this is something that your parents did for you. You gave an analogy about foster care, and I think it speaks to the way that they cared about you. But share with us that analogy you told me, because it was so moving.
So take a second, close your eyes if you have to, and imagine yourself on a beach, right? And you're walking out into the water, and the water is coming up to your ankles, and then it's coming up to your feet, and your sternum, and then all the way up to your chest, and then you're under, right? You're under so deep, and you're thinking, like, how in the world am I going to get out of this? You're starting to lose breath. You can't breathe. And right at the moment when you feel like you're about to pass out, someone just yanks you up out of the water and says, I got you. Like that's what it felt like for me. And I still feel like this to the day. Like, even when my dad comes and checks on me, it's like, I got you. Like, I got you. I'm here. And man, that's the best the way I can put it.
It's that safety. And you know, I think we recognize that small children who are coming into care that have been traumatized, abused, neglected, need safety, but it's really all of us. It's really every age. That's what, as human beings, we need. That's why we're social animals, right?
Yeah.
We want to belong, and we want to feel safe in that belonging. And so at its core, it's kind of simple, and we complicate it with all these different things and layers of day to day and moment to moment, behavior to behavior. But at the core of it, it's all about feeling safe.
Yeah. I think you said that right. I mean, I could almost count back the moments, like, you know, in families, you have your disagreements and things like that, but I've always felt safe. And I think with the system, even from shelters, foster cares, temporary placements, like, a child just wants to feel safe. Like, someone, even if the love isn't fully there, like, when I say the love, like, you know, you're just introducing yourself to this child, you're warming up to that child still wants to feel safe, you know, like, someone, all right, I'm safe here. I don't have to worry about waking up in the middle of the night or staying up all night because, you know, I'm scared someone's going to come take me in the middle of the night and put me somewhere else. Like, it's, you just want to feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I imagine that safety and trust, like, takes time to build. And I thought it was interesting before that you mentioned that you have a relationship and, like, you were praying. And so you've always kind of had this, like, intrinsic trust, perhaps.
Yeah.
Going in and out of placements, whether they were, you know, temporary and then permanency later on, did it take time to build that trust for you?
Oh, most definitely. You know, there's been times where, and, you know, not to speak badly on myself, but, you know, I'm growing up as a teenager and I'm making bad decisions, and, you know, my foster parents or temporary parents are seeing that, and it kind of gives them, like, oh, man, this probably isn't the right idea. Or, oh, man, I think this probably was a bad idea. We probably shouldn't have taken her in. And then, boom, social services is showing up the next day, and I'm no longer there, you know? Right. So it's one of those things. And if I could give any advice, it would possibly be, you know, things like that. And when it does get rough, mm-hmm. keep trying, don't give up. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's where a lot of my placements have lacked, and they were so quick to give up, and I gave up too. So then that's when the acting out in school and acting out in the home came into play. And then that's when the transition from one home to the next home started, because at that point it started with one home, and then I lost that trust. And I'm like, what's the point of trying to behave and try to be, you know, be this perfect angel for the next parent if they're just going to move me like this, you know? So I lost that trust. And I know with my parents, it took a while, but they were so patient. Like they were so open. They wanted to know me. They wanted to learn me. And I think that's what made our relationship stronger. Even to this day, like my mom, she's like, you know, I'm still learning you. You're 28 years young and I'm still learning you. You know, you change every day just like your siblings, and they're open to that. So being open and ready to receive your blessing and wanting to work with it. So, yeah.
Wow. I hear in that, you know, we're not the sum of our behaviors.
Yeah.
Our behaviors are messages about how we're feeling. And sometimes we don't have the words, right? Sometimes we don't even know how we're feeling, you know, from a perspective, from a logical perspective, we just know we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But people have to be able to recognize our intrinsic value and go with that and attach to that and make that what is the basis of the relationship and the family to keep staying, to keep going, to not give up, because, you know, everybody's worth sticking by.
Right.
So I think that your advice to parents is wonderful. I love it.
I mean, it's the same thing. Like I can, like, even with my friends, like, you know, they live with their parents, you know, and there's been times, you know, there's been situations, and it kind of reminds me of that. Like, even if you were able to have your own kids, or if you have your own kids, you wouldn't just give them up just because they had this one moment or whatever the case may be, or they decide to flee. You work with your child, you see what their needs are, and you try to meet that need, whether it's therapy, I don't know, getting out or whatever the case may be, doing things that that child loves and trying to figure out what it is that they want. And that's one thing that I could honestly say, you know, when I was going through these transitions, is nobody asked me what I wanted. It was more like, hey, you go here and, you know, you're going to start at this school and this. But my parents, they said, well, what do you want to do? What do you want? What are you looking to get out of this? And said, I need a family. I want a family, and I want to be able to have something to say. 3 months later, I'm in an attorney's office signing documents, changing my name, you know? So, you know, it's amazing. It really is.
That is an incredible story. Thank you so, so much for taking the time and energy to share with us and to let us, you know, really peek inside a real story, because I think that doesn't happen a lot. And that's part of why so many people like don't really pay close attention or don't take that next step, because we forget that like there are real humans on the other side.
Yeah.
And so we just really appreciate you taking the time to share with us. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Erin, thank you so much for having me and Audra. This is an amazing experience.
It is a pleasure to meet you, and I hope we can do a lot more together in the future.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Great.
And a big thank you for listening. Foster Care Aware is all about getting the word out about how you can support the kids in care in whatever capacity works for you. And Tidewater Friends of Foster Care is here to support you through the journey. To learn more, head over to fostercareaware.org, where you can join our digital community of Friends of Foster Care and learn more about how you can provide a birthday or holiday gift for a child in care as one of our gift sponsors, stay in the know about upcoming trainings, and help meet the needs of current foster parents and youth as they arise. Whether you want to be a foster parent, volunteer, donor, or advocate, head on over to fostercareaware.org to learn more.